up, everybody? Juro, Gilbert here, alongside John Lucan, Derek Isumaki, and soon we'll have Jordan Booth back. Thanks again to the fellas from It's Just Jazz. They absolutely crushed it. It is Pledge Drive. If you are
again, man, they always are crushing it.
They really do.
Yeah, dude, they bring in the moolah.
Yeah, they really, really do. So we want
they do it for the both of us. Like, we kind of tag team it, and like we like to say that we combine forces.
Too,
yeah,
you know?
Like we combine forces with It's Just Jazz, and we say there's a total at the end of it, and we both take 50% of it. You know,
like, that's not at all.
That's
how
it goes. No.
We do steal as much credit as we can when we can, and I definitely think our ambiance and our vibe helps them.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I think...
Because they want to get it in before they start listening to us, because they stop listening the moment It's Just Jazz starts with on the air. So, yeah, it's all good. So
Steve, you're welcome, brother.
They get it in early for you guys, you know?
This is, as you heard Adam mention a few minutes ago, Chico's only locally produced sports talk show. We'll start momentarily. First, as usual, we want to... salute our sponsors. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Alternative Energy Systems, a locally owned and operated partnership providing sustainable energy for life. Alternative Energy Systems offers residential, commercial, agricultural, solar energy solutions. More information by calling 345-6980 or visit solarenergyforlife.com. Thank you, Alternative Energy Systems. We appreciate it. And we appreciate each and every one of you listeners. Again, the number to call, 530-895-0131, 530-895-0131. We got some giveaways. In addition, you know, you're doing it's going to a good cause. You're keeping the fine folks here at KZFR employed, and, well, not employed, we don't really make any money, but, you know.
We keep on the airways, you know, yeah, like our broadcast towers are alive and well because of you guys.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you in advance for pledging. So, with no further ado, let's get into the show. Okay. No theme music. Yeah. No theme music. Yeah. This is cool. Well, we're off to a brilliant start.
Especially for Pledge Drive 2, man. This is some amateur hour stuff.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. It's just it's not working. So We're just gonna forget about it. Jero Gilbert, alongside Jordan Booth, John Lucan, and Derek Isumaki. He's back.
Yo,
yay!
Great.
Welcome back, Derek.
I look like last week, man. Unlike some people, you know. I was back when I was supposed to be.
Touche.
So we are a sports talk show, or we pretend to be. So we're going to get into the NFL draft, the Giants-Dodgers preview, just kind of a look all around sports over the last week and a bit of a look forward. And I want to start with looking forward here. Round two just started, Boston and...
Washington,
my God, played yesterday. I thought Washington was going to easily take this, not easily, but I thought they would win the series in six, and that's still possible. But the way Boston came out firing, Isaiah Thomas went for 33, lost a tooth in that game, and I was just wondering what your guys' impressions were of that series and of round two to begin with.
I mean, I'm excited. Boston looks like they're finally... They kind of find their groove right now. I mean, a lot of people had said in the regular season they kind of outplayed themselves, got to that number one seed. Not really true number one seed out there, but they've kind of held their own right now for the most part. I mean, they took care of the Bulls after going down 2-0 to them. And that's kind of a big statement to them. And this first game win, that's a good start on the, you know, on the right foot for them. And we'll see where – I think they have a chance now. I mean, they're kind of showcasing that they found their groove. And
did they not have a chance before, though?
I mean, like I said, when they're going down 0-2 to Chicago, everyone kind of thought, oh, man, Chicago's actually got a chance. It looks like they're playing well. Injuries came into effect, but...
I mean, they were the number one seed, though.
Do you actually think they had were the favorites to get out of the East, though, being the number one seed?
I feel like the story behind IT, you know, Isaiah Thomas, is more the big thing for the Celtics going
into
it.
So excited to just jump on the Clippers. Everybody is so excited.
That'll come.
Hey, Clip
That'll
City, come. Chip City.
Looking at that, I mean, losing his little sister like that day before the playoffs start, still electing to play in the playoffs, and then starting this game one, you know, he was getting back, I think it was 4 hours before the game started, from the other side of the country in Washington, to play and go off for, you know, the team high of 33. It's a fun series to watch. A, because it's going to be competitive, but B, more for the underlying story for Isaiah Thomas, you know, and the way he's kind of rallied and his team's rallied around him.
I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. Like I said, like, it is going to be a competitive series. I don't read too much into game one. Game one is the most, you know what I'm saying, undervalued and most unimportant game of any 7-game series.
Because
usually it's like boxing. It's like the first couple rounds. You're just jabbing, feeling the other guy out.
Right.
Seeing where you can.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the start that the Wizards got to in that game. You know, I think they got up to 17 or 16.
I mean, I think before that says more
before
about
the Celtics even score. I think that's one other team in the history that has won coming back from that deficit in the first quarter.
I think that says more about the inconsistency of the Washington Wizards than how good the Celtics are, because the Celtics have shown that they can do that same thing and go on scoring droughts. When IT's not going, the Celtics have nothing going.
It's true.
So if you can lock that man down, maybe you got a chance. Maybe they don't have anything.
I mean, it should be especially fun with Wall and IT being like the focal points for each of their teams right there, and you know they're kind of on each other too. So that would be an interesting matchup. And I mean, Wall is been doing some amazing things this playoff. They both really have. Yeah. I mean,
John
they
Wall
really
is a
have.
Legend.
Beal is going to be the X factor for this series. You know, like you said, there's no other player on the Celtics really that can step up if Isaiah Thomas isn't really playing very well. So I feel like if they shut down
Avery
Wall.
Avery Bradley has played well, though.
He has, especially his defense, but Horford's a nice piece, too. You know,
Horford does
his job, and Crowder can get hot, too. You know, they have.
Yeah.
Certain weapons, they have tools around them. Maybe they're not the sharpest tools in the shed, but, you know, they're still out there and they're usable, you know?
A little knock on the Boston Celtics education,
he
I guess.
Yeah, hard on the Celtics.
I'm just saying, I'm just saying.
Where's your
team gonna
at?
Say, they're not the best of, you know.
They have solid role players.
Now you're just being judgmental.
You know, I'm just saying. Like, you're not, you know, slicing through bodies, but you can still cut down a tree with it, okay?
A hatchet.
Yeah, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move off of Boston. Let's
yeah, because Boston hates us right now. Shout out Boston.
Yeah, big up
I'm
to
nothing,
Boston.
Well, actually, I'm a Laker fan, so I guess there's something in Boston, but.
Yeah, let's just move it off. Okay. Move off it entirely.
Can we get to the Clippers and Jazz?
Yeah, I think that's what everyone's looking forward to talking about.
Such a great series.
Once again, Jordan Booth, a.k.a. DJ J-Pounds, the only Clippers fan that I've ever met in person.
Yo, represent. LAC.
I mean, there are a couple of them down in L.A., but they're few and far between.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know any of them.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen them, but, you know, I've
loud
seen
and proud,
Clippers
baby.
Jerseys.
Loud and proud.
But he's the only person I've ever met that's like, yeah, Clippers
he's
fan.
He's a tangible person for you.
And I couldn't stop trying to just give him a hard time yesterday on Twitter. I
almost
felt
not,
bad
though?
About it, but... Not really.
I was getting it from so many different angles. I actually, for those of you guys who don't know, I do a radio show every Thursday, BYB Radio. And somebody hit me up on Twitter actually slandering the Clippers and then was like, you know what, we should talk about it on your radio show. Like, basically,
so you can't knock him. They gave you a little bit of a plug.
No, he plugged himself to get on the show. And then, like, you know what I'm saying? I was going
like
to go back and forth,
compliment
I honestly
plug.
Would have considered it. But, you know, went back and forth with him. And then... I'm just like, I can't have active Clippers slander on my show.
But I mean, as a Clippers fan, you got to look at that game and take something. Obviously, you know, losing Blake Griffin's a huge, huge factor in that. But I mean, Chris Paul had what, like 13, 14 points in that game. He's got to be, everyone wants to say he's a clutch all around point guard, but like, where is he when it matters?
I will say this about Chris Paul. Chris Paul has always got the label as, you know, a championship caliber point guard,
right.
But he
right.
never has had playoff or championship success at any level, as far as I know.
He hasn't gone to the conference semis yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that, I feel like that was just always something that was going with him because, he's a true point guard. He's what you want at the point guard position. But maybe the true point guard, like a pass-first point guard who can score, maybe that's not the formula to win championships. Maybe it's a score-first point guard or a solid wing player. You know, maybe that's just not the recipe. And unfortunately, you know, we have been doing 6 years of a bad recipe, so we got to figure out a new plan.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it on the show before, where it seems like the Clippers had arrived and they were next up to be the team out of the West, and then it's just been a comedy of errors as far as just injuries at terrible times. I mean, they lost their two best players in the same game in the playoffs last year.
Yes, sir.
And truth be told, I think if the Clippers were full strength and went against the Warriors when Steph was going to miss two or three games out of that next series.
That Portland series last year, yeah. That they played Portland. Yeah, yeah. We might have got a couple games. We wouldn't have won, but we would have got a couple games.
Well, you never know. It could have gone seven, and then it would have been interesting, and we'll never know.
Especially because that was like right when you guys were really heating up to hate each other. Like the Clippers and Warriors. Yeah.
There was a time when we were beating y'all.
Yeah. Was that the 3-1? Series. Was that when they lost 3-1, the 3-1 lead to the Rockets?
No.
This was last season when they lost against Portland. They were up in the series, and then up in Portland, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul got in the same game, and they were out for the rest of the series.
Austin Rivers put up a valiant fight, though.
Yeah, he did. He really went off, man.
He probably averaged like 25 in those three games.
Yeah,
no, two more games.
He played well.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, he's got the
playing for Pop.
Yeah, he's got that coach's rap syndrome. So no matter what he can do, no matter what he does, he's always going to be coach's son unless he just goes insane. And but even then.
What do you guys think about them keeping the three together? Because officially, J.J. Redick, Blake, and Chris Paul are all potentially free agents and could leave the Clippers high and dry.
I think J.J. is gone.
I say the only person you keep is Chris Paul. And not because to build her. I mean, he's what, 31?
32. 32. 32 tomorrow.
You can't really necessarily
happy birthday,
build.
Chris.
You can't necessarily build around that. But I feel like for the Clippers to save at least revenue stream, you keep Chris Paul. He's like kind of been the one that has been the front runner up when the Clippers kind of started to get their talk, you know, started to get their rise. So I feel like you keep them. And then try to either re-sign Griffin and trade him because they have no cap space. They can't really pick anyone up. So
you're saying exactly what I'm saying.
I would say you would just sign everyone, but in the hopes to trade three of the four, two of the four.
I don't care about JJ. JJ can do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
Make sure we re-sign Blake. Make sure we re-sign Chris. Trade Blake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then make sure DJ's happy because in 2018 he has a player option. Make sure DJ wants his option or at least wants to re-sign, period. Do that, and then we work on our bench. With Blake, we get pieces for the bench and a wing scorer.
I wonder how much Blake hurt the chances of them signing and trading for some real value. What I mean by that is because he got injured again, and it's going to be what everyone remembers going into this offseason is Blake's last time on the court, he went out because he injured his toe. And some guys, I hate to use the word injury prone, but it just, when it happens and it's like a continuous pattern like this, you begin to worry about durability. So I just wonder how much value he really has. I don't want to give my take again on what to do with the Clips this offseason because I believe I did that like 4 weeks in a row already. So, but I do wonder that. Let's see. Look, are you good on Clippers?
One more stat. Everybody always says it's about the Clippers. You know, we do not have playoff success, but in the last six seasons, we had Chris Paul for six seasons.
Yeah.
The last five of those six, we are the only team, us and the Spurs are the only team with at least 50 wins in those five seasons. So we've had 50 wins or more in the last 5 years. We have at least 250 wins in the last season. That's like above any other team. We have great regular season success. We just have to find a way to translate it.
Yeah, I was just saying, how many championships do y'all have?
None.
So I'm just saying, don't mean nothing right now.
How many organizations don't have championships? There's a lot, though. Yeah.
Plus,
I'm just saying, you said you and the Spurs. The Spurs have actually won championships.
They won one in the last 6 years.
And they went
which
to
is good,
two. They went
is,
to two.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won. They should have won, technically, two. But hey, I'm just saying, like, that's a nice stat, but still.
But what does that say? That says we're a pretty good team. We're a top of the league as far as regular season success. We're always never able to get past the conference semis, which is something to build on. I'd rather be 50-21 and losing the first round than 20-25 and, you know what I'm saying, 47.
Yeah. Well, and also, you are a Clippers fan. You've had to root for a pretty garbage team.
Yeah, I like being all right.
Yeah, I'm good with that, too. I know when the Warriors, like, everyone was saying this is not the place where you want to be when you're an eighth seed or you're fighting for that eighth seed. And I'm like, I don't care, man. It's been a long time since I've tasted any success rooting for this squad. So if we're gonna be an eighth seed and I get to at least watch another week or two of playoff basketball with my team involved, sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Sorry, we don't all root for squads that wear stupid purple and gold and can post a bunch of banners from back.
I mean, because like the success.
Okay. 17 championships.
I'm not bringing up the fact that I understand where the Lakers are right now. I'm not like trying to like say, oh yeah,
no, but I'm saying if anybody ever says anything about the Lakers, you lean on success that you weren't even a part of, like the success that you weren't even like on this earth about, you know, like 1971.
Yeah, right.
Jerry West, the logo. like that's like super weird, bro. Like I'm talking. I'm talking.
And they
about
claim
stuff.
Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about stuff that's current to my life, like Chris Paul. Last 6 years,
I'll give you Shaq Kobe. I'll give you Shaq Kobe era.
Yeah, and I'm good. I'm not like trying to say, oh, the Lakers need to have more. I'm just simply saying, champions are the only thing that's really going to matter right now to Chris Paul, I feel, and for his legacy to actually kind of get past where he's at right now.
I think we could all agree about that.
Well, so 50 wins, it doesn't mean anything at this point.
Completely valued by championship.
We'll just see Derek's perspective in this once we get over to the baseball side of it and see how he still feels.
Yeah.
Hey, agreed. Shout out to Utah, though. Utah, they earned that series, man.
Speaking of Utah, they did. Let's talk about that. So a couple funny things about Utah. It's Utah, and it's just funny in itself for me. It's
great
a
snow.
Stupid name for a state, but whatever. Beautiful state. Been there many times.
That's
I love
cold.
It.
That's
but
cold.
It's a stupid name.
Wow, you're straight going after them right
anyway,
now.
Anyway.
It's a weird Utah for the multiple wives.
Yeah, they do have that going for them.
Utah cracking.
But one thing,
there's some bad parts about it. Some of those polygamous ranges aren't the nicest of places, but okay.
Yeah, sports.
but I wanted to talk about Matt Barnes' comments about the nightlife not being all that, and Andre Iguodala kind of doubled down on what he said and agreed that they would rather play the Clippers because they have a nightlife. And I read one thing where someone was like very shocked by this. It was like, you should be focusing on basketball. I was taking it way too serious. NBA players go out, man. And
like every player is go out, you know? Like, it's just, you know, it's their job.
They get shamed.
Who doesn't go out after their job, you know? And have like just, you know, just chilling out. Like,
I don't know about drinking, though. You can go out, but you shouldn't be drinking.
Water, you know, like go for that.
I mean, there's
saying.
So many players that have played with hangovers, you know, and like
David Wells threw a perfect game hungover.
Okay, well, if you do that, then that's fine. You can come every day hungover, but if you don't ball, you better ball.
Yeah, you need a ball.
Yeah, no, ball. That's the number one thing.
You can't pull a Beckham in the playoffs.
You get
and go
paid
to
a
Miami
lot of money to ball.
Then,
yeah.
What I love about this, though, is I feel like once you see this quote from Matt Barnes, you finally really find this like a culmination of why the Warriors actually signed this dude. You know, obviously they signed him to fill in for Durant here and there, but you really look at it, and it's going to take some flack off of Draymond. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With these like outlandish, and that's kind of been Matt Barnes' MO his whole career. You know, just say these kind of weird things or go after a Derek Fisher or whatever it is. You know, he's always been that kind of hothead. So I feel like he kind of takes that. That shade from Draymond a little bit and lets Draymond kind of get ready for this series.
Yeah, no,
I like that. Yeah.
I completely agree. I said last season after game 7 going into this season, the things we needed was a guy who could get his own bucket, who doesn't have to rely on a 3 when it's in the fourth quarter late, and they got Kevin Durant, the ultimate guy who could get you a bucket. And I said they needed a tough guy and they got Matt Barnes. So now it's, you know, maybe they should just let me GM for the Warriors. If they're listening, anyone from the organization, assistant GM, I'll take it. I'm looking for work. You can holler at me, Jarrow, on Twitter now.
Dude, make some mean cup of coffee, all right?
Guys, it is Pledge Drive and gals. Actually, in fact, last Pledge Drive, the gals were the ones who really stepped it up and started dropping C notes over here. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is Pledge Drive. The way we keep the lights on around here, we are community radio, so... your contribution goes a long way to help us do what we do and gives us a voice, and we could be goofy, we could be serious on here, but we talk about things that matter to our community, or at least to us, and we're part of this community. So just wanted to give you guys a reminder that number is 895-0131. Shoot us a 5. Can you not find it in
Goal
your heart
for the day
right now to shoot us a $5 bill. Come on, it's $5.
There's four of us in here. If you gave all of us $1.27, what is it?
I'll shout you out on Twitter.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Math on the radio is always right. I learned that lesson a long time ago. Don't try to do math on the radio. It never works out for me.
Now you just realize you cannot realize.
If you carry the one, it's like 27 and a
48.
Third repeating. $5,
sports.
Guys. Thank you. Sports. 530-895-0131. Help support community radio and Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. So I wanted to go back down that path real quick. Did you guys think it was anything more than just kind of a funny comment? Because I saw one person who's absolutely outraged that Matt Barnes would be thinking about going out instead of the series they have in front of him. To which I say, when you're a role player on a team that has Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, you could kind of afford to go out. You know what I'm saying?
You're only looking to play like maybe 15 minutes a game, you know? So he's chill.
I'm sure they plan to blow Utah out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Utah is one of the only teams that beat them.
I mean, Utah's like their defense.
For sure.
Utah's defense is real.
I mean, Utah getting at least a game.
If Gobert's healthy, it's a lot realer. Yeah. If Gobert's not healthy, it's not the same.
I was rooting hard for the Clips because I just didn't think the Clips would have anything for the Warriors after losing Blake. And not to mention, Warriors fans travel pretty well, especially to L.A. And if the Clippers were down 3-0 or even, 2-1, I think that game 4 in L.A. would not quite be a home game, but would be close to, because Warriors fans travel really well. Not a whole lot of Warriors fans trying to go out to Utah, you know what I'm saying? For the same reasons Matt Barnes complained about.
Well, I'm just going to say, I feel like saying that they travel really well is a little putting too much emphasis on them. I think there's just a lot of pop-up fans.
Exactly.
A lot of
okay, there
towns,
you go, baby.
And
there
they just happen to be like, oh, man, it's a team that I actually like in the NBA. Okay, I'll go and
Steph
see them now.
Oh, Steph Curry's jersey is $55? All right.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Yeah,
let's not say they travel well. I'm sure Utah's like a boring enough town to be like, you know what? I'm tired of watching the Jazz lose. I'm switching to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I have friends who grew up with me, and I would try to drag them to Warriors games, and they're like, they suck. Why do you root for them? And now I see them on Instagram stunting with, like, a brand-new Steph jersey, and I'm like, really?
Precisely. It's hard not to. It's like a cult.
Pop-up.
Yeah. We need to carve out an organization for us who is down since, like, We Believe and before that. You know what I mean?
But you could so easily fake it.
Yeah, well, with Google nowadays, it's pretty easy. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, Behrens was on the team. Yeah, I can
remember
name
when Barron dunked on AK-47.
Yeah, I actually have a T-shirt. I was going to wear that T-shirt today. I have a T-shirt with that printed on it.
Get yourself some customized old school
Instead,
jerseys.
Instead, you went with that Jay Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why you hating on Jay Rich?
Yeah.
I have a throwback The City jersey with Jason Richardson, and for some reason it disgusts Jordan.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you hate on Jay Rich right now? Jay Rich was,
he was great.
The truth, man. He was awesome.
He was great.
I'm good. I'm good. Wow. All right. Next topic.
Yeah, let's move on. man, do you want to do your news right now?
I go to the news.
Let's get that over with.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Let's get that over with. Ouch, man.
I'm just joking. I love you, Derek.
Yeah, no, I know. You just wish you could get that news in there. You just want to know so much about the world that's going on.
That's true.
Yeah. Like I said, let's get some news going right now.
Let's get you some ambiance.
Oh. Nice.
Oh, yeah. This is baby-making music right now, guys. So, since we are community radio right now, I do want to really go into the community and talk about the Chico State baseball team that just finished off quite an amazing regular season right now. They are ranked fourth in the nation still at this time. And yesterday, they finished an impressive 25-1 record at home for the
season.
Damn.
Wow.
25-1 at home.
That's impressive. Shout out Chico State.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And they did so in walk-off fashion, winning 8-7 against Cal State East Bay. It was senior day, as it being the last home game. So it was great that all 16 seniors were able to get up themselves into the game of some nature. So it was great to see them finish their home season with such a great record. And they're on to bigger and better things, I'm sure, with playoffs and whatnot happening in the near future. So that's something we can definitely keep looking out for. Coming up next, Jay-Z is getting sued right now by Iconics, which is the company that owns the MLB logo. They are being suing Jay-Z for putting the MLB logo on his Roc Nation gear. And it's really going down the line. They're going after everybody right now because apparently New Era is allowing this to happen. Lids, it was selling them. So not only is Jay-Z getting sued, the MLB is getting sued by allowing this to happen. New Era is getting sued. Lids is getting sued. And somehow the SF Giants got thrown into this mixture as well. And it's all roughly $10 million coming out of their pockets, or at least that's what they're being sued for by Iconics, who, again, like I said, they own the image, the MLB logo.
How does MLB not own their own logo?
They apparently sold it to them for $204 million, something like that. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not exactly sure exact details on it. All I do know is the MLB doesn't even own its own logo, and they're getting sued because Jay-Z put Roc Nation gear on with MLB logo stuff on it. So great times right there in the fashion world.
That's amazing.
For those of you right now without worried about Jarrell's job with ESPN, you can rest easy knowing that he managed to avoid the massive cuts that ESPN went through.
Yeah.
Roughly, Shout out to Jarrell.
Yo.
Roughly 300 ESPN employees were let go this past week with plummeting ratings numbers and new ways to capture live entertainment and live sports. ESPN is kind of desperate to trim some of the fat, with a number of them being on-air talents as well. Unfortunately, for those of you wondering, Stephen A. Smith does still have a job with ESPN.
Man, that's a big shot.
A lot of people
he's been firing shots.
Hey, if you trying to hit the king, you better kill the king. All right, all right.
You come at the king, you bet not miss.
All right,
I'm just saying. He doesn't hear me right now. It's okay.
All right. Back to the news.
The Nationals on Sunday put on a football score against the Mets, winning 25-3. 23 runs, 23 hits for the Nationals.
Man.
Anthony Rendon went off going 6-for-6 with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs. That's a game right there. That's a stat filler.
Six for six.
3 home runs, 10 RBIs.
Man.
From the dude from Washington, yeah. Tight. Anthony Rendon. He was gave 6 hits for the 23 hits that Nationals put up against the Mets. In that game, Noah Syndergaard went out in the second inning with some arm issues, so not good for the young, hard-throwing righty for the Mets, Thor-looking dude, for those of you who aren't aware.
Somebody said he gained 18 pounds of muscle over the summer.
I wouldn't be surprised. The guy's a beast.
Yeah,
he's like 6'7", 6'8".
We got to see him up close and personal last
year. We did.
Year.
Yeah.
Is he bigger
than
Bumgarner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot bigger?
I mean, Bumgarner is 6'3"-ish. And Noah Syndergaard's like 6'5", 6'7", I think.
Because the way that dude swings the bat amazes me.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Bumgarner?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. Swing that like an axe.
I mean, he's probably chopping woods and stuff right now. Yeah. All right, yeah. For those of you that are looking forward to Apple's response to Amazon's Home AI, they can wait a little bit longer as it's coming out in the near future, in the next couple months. I guess they need something in response to what Amazon was doing. Apparently, Siri doesn't do enough for you as is. She's already getting you directions and whatnot and telling you what places are near around you to eat. But apparently, we need more from her.
Sweet.
And finally, one last thing. For those of you that are Ryan Seacrest fans out there, I know there are a lot of them. You can be happy to know that he's going to be joining Kelly Ripa on Live.
I just want everybody to know I applied for that same job. And I'm mad I didn't get it.
Did you really?
You were way more qualified.
So did Tony Kronheiser.
Ryan Seacrest is taking the jobs from under the record working man.
Oh, man. Right?
He's just taking all the jobs, man. He needs to stop. You've done enough already, Ryan Seacrest. But good on you for getting a job.
Shout out Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah. All right. That is the news, guys.
All right. Thank you, Derek. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Performances, presenting blues legend Taj Mahal and Keb Mo on June 22nd at Laxon Auditorium. These two Grammy winners will be performing songs from their new album, Taj Mo, and their classics with a powerhouse blues band, Taj Mahal and Keb Mo, June 22nd at Laxon Auditorium. Tickets at ChicoPerformances.com. So there's a couple of drafts this weekend. Obviously, the NFL had one. And we'll get to that. But let's start with the one that really matters.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about Ice Cube's, I think it's called the Big Three. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
They had their draft, and just real quick background on it, it's a bunch of former NBA players that are going to be playing 3-on-3 half-court basketball this summer, And so they drafted this weekend, and there's all sorts of names that are interesting. And you made a good point, John, about how this is going to be kind of a trial. You want to kind of explain what your point was earlier off air?
Yeah, so Ice Cube's doing this. He's already got a good handful of old school superstars. Allen Iverson, Jason Williams, Rashad Lewis, Mike Bibby, all kinds of different guys. They have Clyde Drexler, Julius Irvin being coaches. Yeah, so there's a lot of first-timers, Rick Barry, stuff like that. So you're going to see a lot of legends come and just kind of give their knowledge of the game. But, yeah, it's going to, like you said, it's going to be a half-court game.
Right.
The really interesting part is there's no tip-off. It's going to be a half-court shot, do or die half-court shot.
I love that.
It's pretty much just like how we used to play schoolyard. You know what I mean? It's just take the three or the half court, and then let's just inbound the ball and get going. The halftime is going to be 30 points. So it's a game to 60. At halftime is when the first team, whoever gets the 30 points.
Yeah.
After that, it's the first team to 60 wins, and you have to win by four.
Is it is it regular points, two and threes?
Regular points, two and threes, but they do have a 1 4-point spot on the half court. So if you hit it, no matter what, if you're touching it, you don't have to be inside the circle, just touching the circle. If you shoot it and make it, it's 4 points. So
that's awesome.
It's going to be pretty interesting. And then the draft, they had two captains per – there's eight teams, so two captains. And then they drafted three rounds of players. There's even players still that didn't get drafted that are technically free agents now that are still wanting to get into this league. So I think it's going to be really interesting. The revenue for this is what's going to make it competitive. I was reading into it, and they said 52% of all the revenue from each game is going to the players and coaches.
Oh, wow.
So, oh, damn. So they're actually getting paid for this?
Right, yeah. Nice. So it gives them incentive, you know, to make games more interesting, to try harder.
Yeah.
Can I be
all
honest?
That stuff. So
please.
No, please don't.
I feel like it could be it's half-court basketball, correct?
Yeah. Right.
With people who are probably 40-plus.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some late 30s.
What is the most exciting part of basketball?
Dunking.
The dunks and the blocks.
Breaks,
and
yeah.
Okay.
The athletic plays.
I feel like that's not going to be interesting at all. I mean, shout out to Ice Cube for getting them 52%, and like that's a good gig, way better than the NBA's gig. But
you're telling me you don't want to see Allen Iverson, Chauncey Billups, and Steven Jackson all on the same half court?
I mean, maybe for 5-10 minutes, but after a while, it's just going to be half court basketball.
Well, I think the games. How long did the games go till?
They say till 60.
Till 60. There's no time.
Yeah, there's no time.
Oh,
so it's till 60.
Oh,
so
you guys,
so it's 30 to half, and then from there it's. So you could be down 30-1
I kind of like the idea of you going to 21. It's a quick game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of thought they were going to do it that way, where it's just like, game to 21. It's kind of
21
like,
makes it too quick, though.
Yeah. Then you go super hard
then
for
you can't
for
go to,
five
minutes.
I mean, they got to make a huge production out of it. It has to be at least an hour.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it has to
for
fill
TV,
a block of time.
For media.
Yeah, but I would figure you just do tournaments all weekend at 21, you know, best of three. So I'm like, I don't know.
It's played every Saturday. It's four different games. So obviously there's eight teams. So four different games all around the country every Saturday.
Okay.
So it gives those, like you said, those players that are in their mid-40s, you know, 40, 45,
they're
it gives them a whole
right
week.
Now.
It gives them a whole week to rest
till
the next game. So it's not like they're playing. I mean, it's only a 10-week season with 2 weeks being the playoffs. So you can't tell me that you're a professional athlete, you're 45, and you can't take a week off and come back and
I'm sure for the players it's
be
fun,
energized.
But I think like what he's trying to say, watching
the
spectator,
it is not
the fiction value of it is not going to really be there.
I think it's going to draw interest just because, I mean, you hoop. Do you ever just sit there and watch someone hooping for a little bit?
Yeah.
Like if you're driving by a park, I always watch the people hooping, you know?
Yeah, but how long do you really sit there and watch them hoop?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm not playing,
but when you know
driving.
That you got like old school players on there who actually can like
hit
some shots.
Yeah, I think there's a little fanfare.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to watch because I grew up, like I've mentioned this before, but I had cornrows and drew on fake tests to look like Allen Iverson when I was in sixth grade. I was a huge fan of it, so I'm going to watch this.
I mean, I want it to be good, don't get me wrong, but who wants to see washed Iverson? Like, I
me!
I guess.
I would say, let's hope that there's, like, microphones, they're all mic'd up, where there's mics down there, because I want to hear everything, you know?
Better have something else.
See, if it goes to that route, I'm afraid if it goes to that mic'd up kind of version, it's going to turn too much into a and one
Harlem Globetrotter
Harlem Globetrotters type you
almost
know.
Like performance art
exactly.
I just want to see
kinda,
the dude's ball.
I don't want WWF, I just want older guys
I want Mike's
that
the
I grew up with
so you can catch what they're
is
saying
that what
you know?
Really want though
I want to see that again.
I want to see Allen Iverson crossover Michael Jordan again.
Granted, it's not going to take.
I don't want to see Allen Iverson crossover Clyde Drexler, who's 65.
Clyde Drexler, no, he's only going to be a coach. He's not playing.
Okay, he's only coaching. Well, I just threw out a random name. I'm glad he's even involved.
But you don't want to see Allen Iverson and Jason Williams going against each other.
No.
What? Why not?
Because Jason, well, you know, but didn't Jason Williams, like, isn't that the dude who, didn't he have, like, cancer or something? What happened with his
career?
No, that's the Duke player you're thinking of, I think.
This is Jason Williams.
White Chocolate.
The Kings.
Oh, okay.
White Chocolate.
Well, yeah, but a
champion?
But still, I want to see him on Memphis throwing dimes to Pau Gasol. I don't want to see him throwing dimes to Michael Johnson or whoever.
When does it start, do we
know? Kenyon Martin? You don't want to see Kenyon Martin throwing it down?
No.
When does it start? Do we know?
It's June.
And in half court, it seems like it'd be hella.
Also, here's the thing, though. You're how old? 23?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
oh.
Once you get a little older and washed up like your boy over here, you'd be like, that could be me.
if you were born in the 80s like us, you would understand what we're talking about right now.
Can I still get that? When was it starting?
June 24th. It's going to June 24th, and then like early August is when it's going to end.
So it's going to be over the summer.
It's going to give you that perfect lull.
Oh, yeah. Do you know who's broadcasting this game?
Fox Sports One just signed on to do most of the broadcasting. There's another company that I can't think of right now. No, it's a smaller private like stream company. But the big one is Fox Sports One is going to be doing it. So, I mean, if Fox Sports One gets on it, it's got to be somewhat.
Well, it's going to be great for our show because during the summer, all we have is baseball, and we can't do an hour-long baseball show anymore. You just can't. I mean, this ain't the 1950s. You know what I mean?
Like, well, especially when the Giants have a month of April like they did.
Oh, let's go there. Or everyone got their good on the big three?
Yeah. Quick update. Cavaliers are up 106-87 on the Raptors at home. About 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Looks like a wrap.
That series could be over.
I just want to say, before I came here, Iman Shumpert had the nastiest cram out on Serge Ibaka that I have.
Did you see the off the board, though, in the beginning?
Yeah, oh, my God, with the LeBron with the left hand. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, it was pretty ferocious. Yeah. That was an amazing game to start.
I still think LeBron's underrated, and I know that sounds crazy. But
man.
He's so good, man. So we're good? We're moving on?
Yeah, moving on.
All right, enough about the big three.
Fear the beard.
James Harden?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about me right now?
Oh, yeah, you are the beard, too. Our own personal beard here.
Yeah. Oh, why do you say that? You think Houston's going to make a big run here?
Yeah, Houston's going to the Western Conference Finals for sure.
I say Houston in seven.
I say Houston in six.
Oh. I'm going to write these down. We're going to come back and revisit these.
I mean, Spurs' whole team is washed.
Aldridge isn't playing very well, I'll say that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if one of the old-timers can have a couple games.
I mean, you got Kawhi in there, too.
Kawhi is going to have games.
Ginobili has scoreless playoff games.
But I'm looking at Parker. Hopefully Parker. Look at, you know, three and four in the last series, you know, where he balled out. You know, he kind of had that fountain of youth game.
I'm just saying, imagine if you put Kawhi on James Harden. Bam. Like, their offense for Houston.
I mean, they still
like,
have some.
I'm just saying,
Eric Gordon, you know.
And Patrick Beverly, they can handle it.
Well, they just got a bunch of dudes who could get buckets. Right. And that's why I think if the Warriors do end up running into Houston can get a game or two because they don't care.
Can everybody just get a game or two? Like, is that just the minimum? Because like I hear everything you guys say about the Warriors in a 7-game series, it's like a game or two.
I don't think anyone's beating them
ever.
Yeah,
in a 7-game series, even though it just happened last year.
No, not in the West. These playoffs. No, yeah, I think the real threat would be Cleveland. Mm. Yeah,
I wish you guys at home could see this. The ears are poked up in the room.
Talking about, you talking about the Warriors losing?
Would you what do you think they're going to go even seven? Are you serious?
You think they're going to go to a full seven series? You're crazy.
I'm going to bite you right now. I think they're that good. I do think someone can give them a bit of trouble. I just don't think. Yeah, I don't really see them really struggling until they. I don't really see it happening at all where they really struggle. I mean, the only possible scenario really is because Kerr's out. But I just don't think talent-wise.
That is a factor.
That's huge.
Mike Brown stepping up into the head coaching spot. Yeah. Are they playing tonight?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Houston's later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the later they get into these playoffs, the more and more coaching is going to matter. And that's when you're going to start seeing in the Western Conference.
Especially
finals.
Come Cavaliers. I mean, if that is the prediction for them to get out of the East, that's you got to have Kerr
How much do y'all really think coaching matters, though?
I think it's big when you have young talent like we do. You know what I mean? With Clay and Draymond and these guys that kind of get their, you know, either really emotional, or Clay with his, you know, kind of spot shooting. It's like you need those young coaches to kind of pull them back in, kind of regroup them. You know, you see how he interacts with Curry. You know, when Curry's getting down, and he'll show him stats. Just because he's not scoring points, he's doing this, though. He's helping, you know, it's like reassuring
that
player.
Well, yeah, that's what type of player he is, but I don't necessarily see him having, you know, sensei-like control out there.
No.
I mean, he kind of just runs, like, they're a good team.
I think
he pretty much runs their sets.
I mean, you can look at it in a different light and see that the Warriors are going to play even harder now because he's out.
And they're a seasoned team. I mean, the Warriors have been to the finals, you know, a few times in a row, and they know what they're kind of doing. I feel like there's not enough Steve Kerr in their background that he's not vital to their success.
I think he built the foundation. I think a lot of what coaches do is build the culture, build the foundation.
He built the foundation?
I think he helped, yeah. Ooh. I'm not talking about getting the players there.
Okay, about to say.
I'm talking about...
Show some respect.
No, I'm talking about as far as going from getting knocked out of the playoffs by the Clippers to taking this next level where people have... at least discussed the idea, and I never agreed with it, but greatest team of all time, those types of conversations, because of the offense that Steve Kerr and his staff brought to this team. I think that's what he's kind of set that in the culture, because there was a lot of infighting when Mark Jackson was there. He was firing assistants left and right. I mean, it didn't seem that there was any real harmony in that locker room. And it seems like Steve Kerr, being a former player, he just kind of got it. And he, for whatever reason,
Mark Jackson's not a former player.
I mean, everybody's hugging and kissing when you're winning, though.
No doubt. And we'll see what happens if it gets a little rocky. But
it just depends if you guys make shots. You guys are missing shots.
But you see with Mark Jackson, when they lost Mark Jackson's last year, they still made it, to the second round that year? There was still technically, somewhat for the Warriors, a successful season for them.
Okay.
How was that successful?
But Clippers getting in the playoffs ever is just not okay.
It's the standard that the Clippers have set for themselves in the past 5 years. The Warriors have just gone to that place, and they've already won a championship, too. But also...
One.
Yeah. More than the Clippers have.
Yeah, but one, though.
Let's not get personal, guys.
But you made it personal. The moment we brought the Lakers into it, okay?
No, I just think with the Warriors, it's now it's at that standard where the Clippers have been. Like you said, Chris Paul's been there for 6 years. Blake Griffin's been there for what, four? You know, they've kind of had that foundation of a talented top. I mean, those are top 10 players in the NBA.
And
you gotta have that standard for the Clippers now when they don't make it, because they're looked at as one of those top, you know, five teams in the NBA, or top, you know, top 10 at least teams in the NBA. So
no doubt. But I'm just saying, only a few teams can win it in the last, you know what I'm saying, 5 to 10 years. It's only been four teams.
True.
So it's like, you know, and not everybody's at that level.
All right, I'm sorry. I love the Clippers. The Clippers are my second favorite team, Jordan.
Hey, I don't care.
Did anyone watch the NFL draft?
I did.
I did too.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
My homie, shout out DeMonte Casey. Got drafted to the Atlanta Falcons in the fourth round.
That's nice. What's up.
San Bernardino representer.
Word.
Cornerback. Yeah. Best nickelback in the country, man.
All right. Stand up. That's what's up,
yeah,
man.
Shout out.
Representing.
If you got people in the draft, it's understandable to watch it.
What do you mean? I don't have people in the draft. It's still understandable for me to watch it.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I can't get behind
watching.
What
Bill Burr say, watching the draft is like going to someone's graduation where you don't know anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not sitting in like a hot bleacher grandstand for 4 hours. You're in the comfort of your own home with air conditioning.
Yeah, but you're watching people
and
just read names.
Adult.
Now, I watched the first and second round.
Yeah, I don't begrudge anyone for watching.
I at least watched the first round. The second round, I kind of you know, go through it here and there throughout the day, but... First round, it's a spectacle to be seen.
Yeah, I don't begrudge people for enjoying it. I know people who have draft parties, and it's really just an excuse for dudes to get together, or gals, to get together and get hammered and eat unhealthy food and kind of fraternize. Is that a word?
Yeah.
That is. Yeah, we're going to go with that. And so I don't really begrudge anyone for doing it. I used to be in the draft, and then I realized the more you go on, there's like two dudes that are pretty much surefire, and then after that, no one knows anything. I think Mel Kiper, who studies the draft year-round, and Todd McShay, I don't think any of them got more than four or five picks right in the first round.
Yeah.
So no one knows anything. I mean, Tom Brady slipped until the sixth round. No one knows anything. That's why I think it's kind of foolish to, like, give draft grades and what do you think they did or, you know.
I mean, you base it off their previous body of work. And, like, I think Deshaun Watson was an excellent pickup for the Texans.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of things that at face value seem really smart, really intelligent.
I mean, talking about the draft, I'm surprised you're not wanting to talk about the Niners right now, which I feel like had one of the best drafts out of every team, you know.
Yeah.
John Lynch not looking like a little rookie.
Lynch coming and making moves right away and just robbing the Bears for everything that they have. So.
Right. I will say, and then they like kind of tweeted and poked fun at the Bears right after, which I thought was funny. But I was impressed that John Lynch made the moves that he made and to kind of draft what we were talking about a week or two ago when we were talking about the needs and getting cornerbacks and defensive linemen and really building the team up instead of saying let's get Mitch Trubisky. And
right, not go. I mean, they didn't even go for, I don't think they even went for a quarterback in that draft. So,
I thought they got someone in the third or fourth round, but I could be wrong.
But I mean, I was really impressed with them getting Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. They didn't.
No.
But yeah, the fact that they got Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster in the first round is a steal. Reuben Foster is a top five pick, you know, just because of his kind of off field stuff that you got to kind of put up with. But
what do you guys think about Joe Mixon getting picked?
I mean, it was going to happen. Where did he go? Cincinnati?
Cincinnati. No, for taking second chances.
Which is really, it's a weird pick, I feel like, for Cincinnati already having Hill and Giovanni Bernard.
They like people with, like, you know, shaky backgrounds, I feel. Or at least,
I mean,
like,
Joe Mixon is a beast, though.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, like, dude is talented. Dude for sure would have been a top two.
And how much shakier is his background than most other guys, except for the fact that what he did was on camera. I mean, you got guys that are accused of much worse on a more regular basis. At least with him, it's out in the public. And I think when you get caught like that, for those of you who don't know, Joe Mixon punched a girl in the face and got caught on camera doing it, and it was awful.
To stay away from it, Joe.
Yeah, broke her face and all sorts of stuff, and it was awful.
But the variable is the video came out 3 years after the fact.
So crazy,
you know, and which really hurt. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from what he did. Obviously, it's a horrible thing that he did.
Yeah, of course.
But to have him go through his punishment, he was suspended a year, to go through all the punishments that he did, and then 3 years later it come up, and then everyone start to question it. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, is it, I'm not going to say, is it fair? He deserves everything and all the, you know, shade coming from that incident, but it's hard to hold him against it when he's kind of been, you know, showing positive and stellar kind of track record before and after those situations.
Well, I mean, the man got drafted, so, you know, he's in the NFL now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
The moment it's on camera, it's real for everyone else. Like, you might say there's guys that do it. For them, it's just, that's noise. It's white noise to people because they haven't seen it. It's not real to them.
Right.
And the moment you see it, it's real to you, and that's a face that you're not going to remember. And unfortunately, like, how it came out for him. But, I mean, like I said, the guy's in the NFL. What more can he ask for? He's in the show, and he has a chance to make a name for himself other than what people know about him right now.
Right.
Right. You know, and it's a free market, and if you're talented enough, teams will oftentimes take a risk on you unless you kneel for the national anthem, and then no one wants anything to do with you. Derek and I were talking, speaking of free markets, Derek and I were talking about ways we would possibly change the draft, and one of the ideas I have is, I've told you guys before that I think professional wrestling is fun. I don't watch it anymore. I did when I was a kid. But I wish sports were a little more goofy and just, like, you know, more of a spectacle than always, like, this holy cathedral where you have to act a certain way and you better not pitch at someone. Or if you do, like, all these unwritten rules, I think it's kind of silly.
That's only baseball.
For the most part,
you described baseball.
No, but I mean, with
everything else, it was like, well, you know, the game with passion, like, and, like, the heart of the game and, like, the true spirit. It's like,
in football, you know, they regulated how you celebrate. In basketball, I hear people complain when someone thumps their chest after dunking. I hate how often they talk to the refs, but all that aside, I have some ways that I think we can make the draft really, really fun. So here's my idea, and I know it's a little ridiculous, but think about this. All right, let's say you grew up in really cool city, Miami, LA, wherever. You've worked your whole life to be a professional football player. You get to choose your college. You go to the college of your choice. And then you get to the point where you are now the number one overall draft pick, and you have to go to Cleveland. What if the players got to announce where they intended to sign. So you basically had signing day. Now, if you keep a cap, then you can't. You still have the same, essentially the same system in place, where you could still have a 53-man roster and all those types of things because there is a cap, and it would work itself out. But I want smoke and like lasers to come out, and then the guy who's signing, comes out with the whole squad, his family, everyone he grew up with, all his day ones, and he's like, yo, going home, baby. We're coming back to Cincinnati. And everyone goes crazy. You know, like, I think that is one way we could spruce up this this draft process. Because this is, if you think about this, this is kind of a ridiculous way to go about acquiring talent. And no real other industries do we draft people anymore.
Right.
You know?
In every other league.
What?
In every other
sports league. I feel like they've done some things to kind of entice more people into it now. It's becoming more of a spectacle. Moving it, you know, before it was just always in New York, I think.
Yeah, I think moving around helps.
Moving around, so every year it's going to be someplace different, so you can feel like, oh, eventually I can go to one of these things. You know, it's like a championship parade or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where you can go and see your hometown team draft a player.
I think it's more like a rite of passage, almost. You know, like almost a new influx of players coming in. It's just kind of like what you have to do. Like they've always done it.
That's kind of a. That's not really a rite of passage. It's like that's a walk, man. That's chill. That's like
honestly,
hey, man,
I'm
you know, like,
dolled
like, up. I'm saying like you go to school, you do 4 years of school, and then what you do? Like you graduate, you walk across the stage. It's like the same thing almost.
Yeah.
I think if they're picking where they're going, though, I think that would make it more interesting. I'm not all about for the spectacle, but I'm down for allowing like players to pick.
Crazy.
And, like there's a list of teams, like how many slots you can fill, and like
but you would have really good teams.
Well, look at it this way: if you're good enough, you can pick where you can go. I mean, you look at John Elway, Eli Manning.
That's a terrible way of going about it. You know?
Yeah, I think everyone should just be able to go where they want. If there's mutual interest, you make it happen because that's kind of how capitalism works.
Like I said, you get the interview process. It gets like, why should I come to your team right now? You know, why should I come to Cleveland, man?
You're interviewing,
you're interviewing them just as much as they're interviewing
you. What are you
going to
provide
as a free agent?
But if you have, like you're saying, if you have a cap, then certain teams, no matter what, even if they wanted to say Patriots just won the Super Bowl, so there's going to be kids that are like, oh, I want to go play for the Patriots and Belichick and Tom Brady or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they have their cap and they can't afford it, then they're not going to draft him.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
You can't come here. Like,
okay. Like there's no way we can refinance or do anything for our
draft. No, you can make trades. You could still make trades. So let's say his second option is Dallas. So then Dallas could just be like, yo, all right, here, let's work some. Here's a first and second rounder next year. I don't know. Something like that. You could make it happen. It would be funny.
It'd be a lot, but it'd be tight.
It would be.
The spectacle would be tight.
It'd be awesome.
I choose to go to LA Chargers.
Yeah, and they get to bring out their own walk-up music, just like in baseball. And the whole squad comes out of the tunnel with like smoke. That
choreographed
would be
dance.
Yeah.
Like,
sign me up. I would watch that all day. That would be
great. You already get somewhat of those spectacles. You know what I mean? Did you
but
see?
It's all so buttoned up. No. They go up and they get the awkward hug to Roger Goodell.
Did you see the Broncos first overall, the lineman they drafted?
No.
He brought it, which it was cool. You've never really seen it. It was unique. He brought his newborn baby boy out with him.
I did see that,
but then he holds him up like Simba.
You know what I mean?
And he's like,
okay.
It's like, what? It's,
I just want to say a brief thing about that guy. If you didn't look into his background, that dude has been kicked out of three different schools.
Expelled from six. Six different schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that
How
was
do, you do that.
I'm all for, you know what I'm saying, loving your child and all that, but I do feel like that was a public stunt and a spectacle for the press, and I do not support that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
All right, I'm with that.
Yeah. I mean,
but if he walked out to lasers and smoke,
I might support that.
Holding a kid up.
Holding a lion, an actual lion. Now we're talking.
As long as they keep the draft around, I will be watching the draft just to see Roger Goodell walk up at the opening of the draft and see every host city in the country boo that man for 5 minutes straight. I will watch the draft purely off that.
Yeah, I'm down with that too. I always find that fun. let's talk a quick Giants and Dodgers preview. They played, was that last weekend already?
Yeah.
Was it that long ago? God, this is moving by way too fast. They split the series. What I really want to talk about is simply because I've been helping with the Rivercats broadcast on ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. And they have called up all these guys who've been balling out for the Rivercats, which kind of stinks for the Rivercats, but, you know, it's awesome for those guys getting a major league shot. A couple guys that you may recognize, obviously, Matt Morris. He was with the Giants in that 2014 run. Was when he hit that absolute bomb, was that the World Series you remember? Or was that NLCS?
I'm pretty sure it was the NLCS.
I think so, too. Yeah, when he hit that.
I think you guys were going against St. Louis.
Yeah, okay, NLCS. You're right. I couldn't remember.
I know that.
God. Yeah, that was weird. Well, you like baseball, so. But they brought up Matt Morris. Christian Arroyo had been absolutely killing it for the Rivercats. I think he was on like a 12-game hit streak. He was batting above .300. I think he was batting .408 or something like that when they called him up. So it's just really cool to see some of these guys. They called up Drew Stubbs and Kelby Tomlinson as well. And I just want to put it out there, give you guys an inside scoop. So if you weren't going to pledge before, think about it now, because I'm giving you some real inside knowledge. Orlando Calliste, he's going to be the next guy they bring up. He's going to ball out. I was telling my buddy about it the other day as I was helping broadcast the game. And as I was texting with my buddy, he hit a home run. Shortly thereafter, we were talking about him again, and he hit another home run. So, Orlando Calliste, you could take that to the bank. I don't know if you could bet on said things. If you can, why don't you take all that money that you win and pledge it? So that's it.
Boom.
Do you guys want to talk about Giants?
Yeah,
Dodgers. I mean, this guy over here claims the Dodgers World Series from before he was born.
Yeah,
so
it'll be fun watching.
What year do I have that says 1988 World Series?
Fun watching the Giants and Dodgers battle it out for third place this year.
Yeah, it's a good pitching matchup though. Kersh and Cueto on the mound. So
It should be a fun, low-scoring game.
Whenever the Dodgers and Giants are playing, like that's his classic baseball. You know,
ever since Bumgarner wanted to help Jeff Kent wash his truck and hurt his shoulder again. So
that was brutal.
It's really hard to be. It's torture, as they say, as Giants fans to watch baseball right now in the month of April. Thank God it's May. Hopefully it's a little bit better.
For those of you who can't see, I'm playing Smalls violin for the Giants fans. They're not satisfied with the three championships they got since 2010. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of hostility
as a winning franchise. I've never settled for just a couple championships.
There, you know,
yeah,
can't get there that quick.
Okay. Anyway, we'll see. When's first pitch? 7:15 tonight?
7:10.
7:10. All right. So I'm going to be watching that. Had something to look forward to. We were going to talk about new shirtless rules in Chico. Basically, if you're downtown, keep your shirt on, period, unless you're a child and you're running through the sprinklers over here at the park.
I'm just like I said, out in public in general, man. Let's just, you know.
Well, your mom also wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I know.
Allow you to walk around the house without your shirt on.
Your mom would not allow you to walk around the house without a shirt on.
It wasn't like it was a. I guess it's an unwritten rule that she was like, it was just frowned upon. Like, she's, I don't want to see that. She would just say, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it. Just cover it. Wow. Just cover it. You know? Everything. That's what all it was.
Rule.
It was
frowned upon.
Shout out to Derek's mom for that.
She raised me in a certain way, man. So, yeah, I'm. Right. No one should be shirtless unless in the proper settings.
Do you swim with a shirt on?
No. In proper settings.
Oh,
you
Lord.
Certain
situations. I would roast you so bad.
Yeah, guy with the... Yeah,
He just has a rash guard everywhere he goes.
You can be shirtless in the proper areas and settings. Time and place, everyone.
All right.
Time and place.
Okay. Wait, so even if you look good, so like, can I look good? So like, I can't...
Go stare in a mirror and look at yourself all day long and all you want. I don't care.
I can't
need
be shirtless
to see
downtown?
I don't need to see you that. No.
Oh.
Cover it up.
So that's a real... People are handing out... cops are handing out tickets or what?
No,
you can't be shirtless.
Drew and I were riding our bikes to town today, and we just saw many old man bellies out there.
Oh, that's
a
personal.
There was an aggressive amount of old man beer belly hanging out, and it doesn't seem like something that should happen in my town. Not in my town, damn it.
Get a tank top. I get it. I'm fine with a tank top. Get the guns out. Let them flex and a little breathability, but keep a shirt on, y'all.
Yeah, so keep a shirt on out there. Thank you for listening. FM 90.1 KZFR. We appreciate your continued support.
Pledge.
Please pledge. Doesn't have to be our show. I mean, it's actually, in fact, about too late to be our show. You can still call in and just be like, yo, I like that show or I hate that show, but here's some money anyway.